Welcome to On the Frontline, the Safety Learning and Operations Podcast. My name is Dr. Gina Anderson, and I am the CEO and co-founder of Luma Brighter Learning. Luma helps the transportation and logistics industry save lives through our award-winning connected learning platform because we believe that we are connected, and when you are, you can reduce risk, spark change, and learn with purpose. And that is why we are celebrating the people designing better outcomes for those who move our industries. Stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you could be our next guest to be celebrated in about 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hi, everyone, and welcome to my podcast, On the Frontline. I am so honored and excited to celebrate somebody very special to me who's joining me today. Her name is Tabitha Greer, and she's the Senior Risk Manager at Meijer. And she is one of the kindest, most incredible leader that you will ever meet. She develops management strategies and control enhancements involving information technology across property, liability, personal loss, and one of the largest companies, like I said, Meijer in the U.S. And her store that she works for has a special place in my heart. And I think the heart of America because of the care that they provide. And she definitely leads from the front. She identifies and assesses, and she really, you know, prevents risk, right? Tries to at least bring it down within the grocery and manufacturing sectors. And she really does care. I spent a lot of time with her over a course of a few days about safety and people. So Tabitha, thank you so much for being here today. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what does leading from the front line really mean to you?
Yeah, thank you so much, Dr. Gina. It's been a pleasure getting to know you through this process and feel honored to have time to chat with you this morning. As you mentioned, I work for a retail company that is based out of the Midwest. We have a history of 90 years being in business, and I believe that truly it's the culture that makes the company and guarantees the success for the future, whether that's as a company as a whole or within your own department. And certainly working within risk management gives me access to a variety of different exposures around the company, and leading from the front within my own team really just ensures that we meet the company culture and kind of the ethos that is behind what we do, which is making sure that we're instilling trust in the customers, but also the communities we serve. And I think frontline leadership really makes sure that we can do that from the very beginning within our own workplaces before we even reach those customers out at our retail locations.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I want to talk a little about the culture because,
yes.
I mean, you feel it. Like when you walk into your organization, you feel the culture. So can you describe what that's like? I mean, when you work there?
Absolutely. I certainly think there's something to be said for a company that is established from a local community and really holds its roots there. And I think Meijer as an organization has consistently done that. And even though we've grown from one store to now almost 400 across a 6-state footprint, I think that that commitment hasn't left us, and it hasn't left us over time. It hasn't left us despite the different ways that we meet our customer needs. Certainly, you know, the brick and mortar shopping experience is important to us, but we've also adapted to meet our customers where they are. And I think from that, really standing behind that company statement of enriching the lives in the community we serve is making sure that we're not just looking at each person as an individual, but what can we be doing to enrich the entire community? So when we have a store open up in a new location, for instance, we know that before our doors even open, typically the people that we're looking to become our new team members live in the communities in which we're trying to grow. So if we can introduce ourselves in that way early on and really get to know the culture of where we're trying to grow, I think then that allows us to both maintain what we want to bring to that community while also learning and maybe adapting to what that community needs from us.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't even thought of that, like not being individual focused, but community focused. That's so beautiful. I love that. Is there one system within Meijer or within the industry as a whole that you work in that you think that you would want to redesign? Or what, if so, like what would it be? Or what would you create? Like what would you imagine?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I don't know that I would actually start from scratch and redesign something, but within my own department, I think what makes us unique, certainly from a risk management and claims handling perspective, is that we still hold all of that in-house. So it's our Meijer team members who are speaking to a customer when they have an incident that could give rise to claim. It's our team members who are sharing feedback direct to our stores on risk mitigation strategies almost in real time. And it's making sure that we can continue to do that when a lot of those services continue to be outsourced around other companies of our size and scope. And so I think more than anything, I would like to carry on that of keeping that personal touch and feeling that our customers are still talking to a real person. They're still talking to, the company that they're frequenting and that they put their trust in instead of a third party. And so I think if there's anything that I could continue to reinvent is how we can make sure that the ability to, take that ownership and keep that ownership within our company allows us to be set up for the future. But that doesn't come without some of those additional commitments. And so it's making sure that our team members are given the support, are given continuing education and resource opportunities so that they can learn alongside our customers how to handle some of these challenges that just even didn't exist when we started 90 years ago or even. 5 years ago, pre-pandemic, there's a lot that has changed in this space that we've had to really be adaptable to. And I think as long as we continue to have that flexibility and that desire to grow alongside our customers, that means that we can continue to guarantee that we're working with them to make sure that their experience is always the best one that we can offer.
I love that. Learning is the seed of life, right?
Yeah,
It's like we're always
absolutely.
learning and growing. And so, just like what you're talking about is like really growing an emerging leading community within. I think that's so important, especially like you said, the landscape has changed so much, you know? And so, I think it's just important for people not only to recognize, but to have leaders like you that are so incredibly like supportive of this. So thank you for that. I wanted to see, I was thinking about like what does the front line really teach us about humanity? Like working on the front line. I just posted something this morning on my social media because I saw this young lady at the National Cemetery. It was like 95 degrees and she's standing out there working on the front line. So share a little bit about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting. I went back and was looking at some of our internal training and wanted to see how often we reference that frontline leadership. And I came across something that I think just speaks to it, which is excelling in the moments that matter. So, what are those moments that matter? And I think it's first and foremost as a leader being able to really dig into how those matters can be different for each individual you're leading. So it could be different from an hourly employee to maybe a salaried employee to somebody that's brand new into their career versus maybe looking at retirement in the next 5. And so understanding that the moments are going to be different for each person that you're trying to lead. But if you're making yourself available, making yourself engaged in those conversations on a day-to-day basis and getting to know each other as people outside of as just other, coworkers or employees or team members, then you're able to understand and relate to what are those moments that actually matter to the individual. And while that's not always easy to do as you kind of climb up that leadership chain and more people are sitting kind of underneath your scope of care, I think there is also something to be said for looking sideways and hearing from other managers and other people in that team development space to see and understand, you know, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? What are you getting feedback on? Because just because I have maybe a direct line to my own team doesn't mean I understand the concerns and the risks that everybody else across the company might be looking at. So I think it's that visible engagement. But then where I've really noticed as I'm coming up in my fourth year at my in my current role is that it has to go beyond that then to how are you going to respond to stay engaged? Because I think there's something to be said for establishing that engagement and instilling that trust as you first come in as a leader of a team. But when I look at, you know, my 5-year plan, my 10-year plan, it's how do I continue to be responsive as maybe my time and attention gets pulled away as I grow in my own career. So I think that's my current look ahead and challenge is how do I continue to be responsive and engaged when maybe I'm not able to be there day to day? And so I think that's where looking sideways for support and building out my team allows us to really lean in together so that if I'm gone, for instance, like I am today on PTO, I know my team is out there feeling that they have different avenues to engage in, and feel supported no matter what situation they're in.
Absolutely. It's building the community of learners, right? It's really what you're doing is lifting each other up and lifting your skills up. It's not a competition, it's a community, right? And so so beautiful. I love that idea because I think a lot of organizations don't think that way. I mean, they think they're kind of in their own, elements or silos, and there's not, but you're a community. So I love that you have that outlook and vision. Has there been something at your organization where innovation maybe emerged and maybe like an unexpected place? I always think of Meyer and the little horse. I mean, I think it like brings joy. Yes, it brings so much joy for so many people.
You know, it's funny, we just had a family day at our office, and it reminded me a lot of I think growing up and remembering when there was big summer picnics put on by companies, and a lot of those engagement activities I think fell by the wayside, whether it's because it's very easiest for us to connect quickly, spontaneously, like we're doing now, no matter where we are, to then throwing in just the pandemic and remote work. And we remain a hybrid schedule. So, how do you remain connected in a world that doesn't necessarily put the same value on face-to-face connectivity anymore? And I think, you know, despite how easy and flexible and engaging some of the technology that we use is, and it certainly helped with my own work-life balance. I think there is still such a premium that should be placed on some of that face-to-face, real-time connections. And if you don't make that space and that time, I think it's very easy for even if you're communicating every single day in a one-on-one, if you're not doing it in that way, I think there is something that can be lost. And so, how do we make sure we're not losing a way that we've connected in the past or communicated in the past while enhancing all of the different ways that we can communicate in the future? I've seen that a lot, just even generationally. You know, the way that we communicate is so different because there's just so many options for how to do it. So, how do we make sure we're staying relevant and using technology appropriately, but still not losing the fact that I hear almost all day, every day, that the one thing that people love about our stores is just getting greeted when they walk into a store because they come there every week and it's their local store. They feel a connection with the people they see every Tuesday when they come in and do their grocery shopping. Or it's the pharmacist who took some extra time to answer their questions, especially on a day when maybe their doctor didn't have a chance to do that for them. We can provide some of those resources. And then even though we sit at the corporate office within my team, I think that engagement with our stores and knowing what's happening at a store in, Eastern Michigan could be completely different than what's happening in the community down in Louisville, Kentucky, or a suburb of Chicago. Those communities really dictate, I think, to us what is seen as a value, and we try to match that. So if you come into our stores, you'll see that we're looking at local farmers and growers to make sure that they're coming and being prioritized and given the opportunities that otherwise might not exist for them. It's using, like I mentioned, our local team members to be the staff at those locations. So all of a sudden, the way that we connect becomes something more than just I'm a customer and you are my patron. It's, hey, you are part of my routine. You're part of my routine. And I think we can do that no matter where we are because we do have these relationships that are just part of our daily lives. But I think sometimes we don't put as much value on them as we should.
Absolutely. That was really well said. I
Oh.
mean, this is my passion is connection. I mean, it's what you just described, and it's one of the many reasons why I wanted to celebrate you, because that is so imperative, not losing connection, because it impacts you, how you feel, how you wake up every day, and what you're creating and what you're leading is that. And so it's so important. Somebody that walks into that store that's all alone, they instantly feel like they're part of that community. And so I think that is just critical for our health and well-being. So yay! Yay for Tabitha and Meyer for bringing the health to the world. I love that. So 10 years from now, how do you hope that your work and what you're doing has moved the industry forward? What do you want to leave?
Yes, and this was the question that I thought about the most. So thank you for even making my brain think this way. I think more than anything else, for me, what I've really gotten the most out of and what I hope to continue to leave as a legacy is building up young people to understand that there's many paths to success in your career. It's not always a straight line. I myself came to risk management after 15 years doing a completely different type of work. And I want them to understand that while the world changes, you can also change and adapt with it. And it doesn't have to be something that if you didn't go to school for this right away, that means that your entire life plan is ruined. And if you aren't sure what you want to do at 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, even in my case, I was getting close to 40 before I more made this career change, that life, and professional relationships and personal relationships really can change your trajectory in a ton of positive ways. And so don't be afraid to not know what you want to do, but be open to taking on any challenge and any opportunity. I've had the experience at Meijer to participate in our internship program, and I just wrapped that up for the season and have always shared with our internal teams, with the interns that we have worked with, is I learned so much from this next generation and so much from how they have had to be so flexible to the changes that have surrounded them. I just am so eager to see how that experience for them plays out in their professional lives because I think they're coming and leading with empathy. And that is something that I think more than anything will impact the ability for us to make positive changes in the future is making sure we don't lose that along the way. And so I think if I can be a part of leading the next generation of empathetic leaders, that's certainly a legacy I would be proud of.
That's so beautiful. I love that because it's important. I mean, they're going to be the next generation, and when you walk into Meijer, you want to have them have that same sort of feeling and giving that to the community. And so today, I really want to pause, and I really wanted you to come on because I really want to recognize that leadership that you deliver for the community doesn't always get the spotlight, but you move mountains just the same. When I sat with you on the bus, I really felt your love and your kindness, and it's not always the loudest voice in the room, right? Like leaders that lead might not be the loudest voice. You're not chasing applause or recognition, but you show up. I mean, you showed up for your group, you showed up for your community, you show up, for the broader community, at the event that we were in. So on this show, I started the Pelican Award. So this is my Pelican Award. And you're gonna earn one, and I'm gonna send this to you. It's a glass pelican, and I started it because pelicans are really, I wanted to honor quiet heroes and people who lead with heart, who carry the weight of others without asking for anything in return. And I chose the pelican because it's a specific symbol, because in nature in Charleston, and when you see pelicans, they live and they hunt in groups. And so they thrive not because they're alone, but because of community and connection. So they represent teamwork, they represent social bonds, and they represent the balance between giving and receiving. So today's Pelican Award recipient goes to Tabitha, who embodies all of these traits, who sees the strength in others and lifts them higher, who gives without ego, who leads not from the front, but within her community. So her work might not always make the headlines, but her impact, it's lasting, it's personal, and it's powerful. So today I honor you, Tabitha, for the way that you move me forward, you move people forward quietly, but purposely for the community that you've built at Meijer, at your home, and beyond, for the balance you bring and for the lives you change just by being you. So congratulations. You
Thank
are our Pelican. So
you. Oh, thank you.
you bet.
I'm truly honored, and I love the meaning behind that. I think we should always have, meaningful reasons behind, what we introduce, and that was perfect. And I will say, pelicans are now migrating to the Great Lakes, so I feel like
Oh.
it's all meant to be. But I'm truly honored, and I'm just humbled, I think, certainly. This is not something that I anticipated, so just thank you so much.
Oh, you bet. You are. That's awesome to have you today. If you're not connected with Tabitha, we'll have her links in the show notes. You got to know her. You have to learn about Meijer in the community. So thank you so much for coming on my show today.
Thank you, Dr. Gina. So appreciate it.
Dr. Gina Anderson here. Thank you so much for listening to On the Frontline, the Safety, Learning, and Operations podcast. If you are a successful director, VP, or C-level executive, and you're solving some of the toughest challenges in training, engagement, and risk reduction, we would love to have you on this show. Please visit podcast@learningwithgina.com and apply to be a guest. If you got something out of this interview, would you share the episode for me on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend, or just post it on your social media channels. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, and use the hashtag on the front line. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. It means so much to me. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content, so make sure you don't miss an episode, and go ahead and hit subscribe if you like it. Your thumbs up, ratings, and review go a long way to help promote my show, and it means a lot to me and my team. You want to know more? Go to our website, learningwithgina.com or lumabrighterlearning.com, and follow me on LinkedIn and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.